Hey, fellow traveler, welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. I am really, really excited today to welcome Yael Green to speak with us. She has a very interesting perspective, a very interesting experience, which I'm really excited to share. So she's going to talk to us about life as a hybrid human and what that even means and being a living portal, which I feel like I understand what both of those mean, but I can't wait to hear her perspective on it. Hybrid crystalline DNA, accessing plasma states and other dimensions in real time, portals and stargates. It's just going to be a very next level conversation, I'm sure. So thank you, Yael, for joining me. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this connection.
Awesome. So I always start by asking my guests if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, but especially like through the lens of your spiritual awakening. Like, you know, did you always, was there always an aspect of you that knew that you were a hybrid human? Did it come in like gradually over time, or was there some kind of event that like, just changed your perspective? What happened for you?
This is always an interesting question because I know everyone is coming from the opposite direction. And for me, I'm trying to figure out, wow, this whole earth plane in comparison to where I came from is very different. My access is much easier to a galactic plane. Mm-hmm. And I have always known that because I remember the immediate feeling of being left here. I remember coming down with my star family, whatever you want to call them. Basically, my energy was created on a ship type of energy. And obviously, in order to be on this planet, we needed to have some DNA that's human DNA. Not to get too far into that, obviously, there's the connection with human DNA that comes to be a part of the project of the hybrid project. And that happens to be where people are. And I think the word that people use now is they're taken onto ships, right? There's no abduction that happens. This is a complete agreement that happens because we're working in conjunction. Humanity, this physical body, we're working in conjunction to where we used to be. So there was a piece of human DNA that was inserted into this energetic body, into this being, so that I could be physical and dense here on this planet. And most of everything that I understand is about the galactic understanding. All of the assignments that I've had, everything that I've done is in that realm. So coming here, 50 linear years ago was a shock in that we travel all around constantly when we're in galactic energetic form. And so traveling with my family, all of a sudden, I remember how it was a wonderful experience. And that's, the experience that everyone is wanting to have, that connection of oneness. And then all of a sudden, I look up, and I only put this in horizontal terms because that's how humanity understands it. It's obviously not a vertical process of going from down here to up there, but seeing everyone traveling back. And I could not understand why I was still here. And that feeling of being here. And obviously, that there was a family here that took me in. I have, with that family, there was a complete understanding of who I was, in that I never had rules or boundaries or any patterns placed on me that I hear humanity have. I have no connection that this family is my blood family. You do things for them. There is none of that for me. I was never told that I had to be this or had to look like this or anything like that. So they were there so that I could actually perform or be a part of this mission that I was here to do, or that I am still here to do. And it's taken a while for humanity to catch up. So there's been a lot of viewing there's been a lot of sending information back, because for most of, since the 1970s until, you know, just a bit ago, there's been a lot having to prepare for this large transition that has been occurring and that is still really at its beginning stages, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Since this podcast is about normalizing these experiences, where the humanity is starting to open up and expand into what it's like to have these experiences and still come back into the density of a body, which is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave it there, because I know I could keep going on, but why don't we sort of pull off of that and see if there's any questions, thoughts, anything coming there?
Yeah, well, like 100,000 questions and thoughts. And the first thing I want to say is just like, I don't think this has ever happened to me, but as I'm sitting and looking at you and communicating with you, I feel like I'm on the verge of tears, because I'm like, oh my goodness. I don't know. It's like, I recognize your frequency signature. And yeah, it's really beautiful. And so whatever, I know it's so hard. I mean, I literally just struggled with this yesterday. Yesterday, I integrated up to the 12th dimensional consciousness and was trying to channel from there. And it's so hard. It feels so jerky, because you're aware that people don't necessarily have the prerequisite understanding. So I suggest, let's just actually just lay it on me. Just bring it. Even if people are going to be confused, it can be listened to over and over and over again, and the frequency will be received. But yeah, oh my goodness. Well, I'm curious. I mean, how beautiful that you were received by a family that understood who you were going to be. Did they consciously understand? Were they prepared for you? Were their souls prepared for you?
Okay, so obviously they're the subconscious part of them was prepared for me. Mm-hmm. And whether that came in the form of they had to numb themselves to a certain point to be able to be in the same space with me, or I had to pull back and have my own space, mm-hmm. then interact, I knew that there wasn't any friction in why I was here. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people experience or perceive that they experience, is that there's friction with what's happening with the outside experience. And for me, one, since I don't carry the same karma and the same holding on of that karma. So it doesn't sit in this dense body to be something that holds me back. So I do have that. It's a little bit easier for me. But there was a holding, you know, that there was disintegration for them, except for my father. He did come from the ship. And you need that. It's such a shock, especially now that, I mean, there are many more hybrids coming in the earth now. So we've sort of set the space for that. But before, you needed someone else in this physical form here to be able to hold it and understand it. And so he was here the first 12 linear years of my life before he left to go back on the ship on this planet. It looked like he was crushed between two trucks. That was his leaving the body. So just to normalize that we have a choice at any moment to step out of this body. It's just the physical body. You could have a walk-in come in, totally fine. You could leave the body, it could move. So that was his moment where, okay, he's leaving and now I'm stepping up into this next piece of who I'm needing to be here. And so they really, the family that was there allowed me to be that in a way that they didn't really have to interact with it on a conscious level.
Mm.
And that was absolutely fine. And it's not as if I didn't experience traumas. There was traumas that occurred. And I just want to say that to normalize, I'm in a body.
Yeah.
I do experience traumas. I had sexual abuse trauma. There was those traumas that still occurred. But also, it's not something that is continually playing to stop the assignment. It's happening it happens in conjunction with what I'm here to do.
Yes.
And yeah, I think that makes total sense. Yeah. It's important to remember that because things can happen in conjunction, because I think that will also make it easier for people to understand that, for humanity to understand that we are experiencing multiple realities all at one time, and that our capacity for that is what is supposed to happen in this body. Mm-hmm. That is I know we throw around this word multidimensional so often, but that is what multidimensionality is that we're moving fluidly between all of these segments and between all of these things that we're trying to put in boxes for our ego mind to understand, which is where if we can flip it on its head, we can start to move more fluidly, that they don't have to be segments or segmented into boxes. Mm-hmm. That allows us to be in a plasmic state much easier when we're moving through the transitions without even knowing we're transitioning through dimensions. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And so just to cycle it back to you to make sure that I am understanding it properly, it's kind of like we, from a human perspective, compartmentalize what we experience and we create stories around them that then like support that compartmentalization and that fragmentation. And that's just part and parcel of the human experience. It's not even something wrong. We're not doing anything wrong. It's just, it's very easy to get stuck in that perspective. But actually all of it, everything that we're experiencing, all of the traumas, all of the joys, our greater mission, our whole entire consciousness up and down the Sushumna line is all happening fluidly at once in this incredibly beautiful geometric pattern dance. And we're just expanding our consciousness to like be in that dance.
Yes, that's right? That is exactly. And that's what I love about it. Everyone translates this in such a beautiful way. And I appreciate that because it comes through. And that's where I really rely on humanity to ground it in, who have been here and can create a geometric framework for it that is personal. And that's the other thing I want to mention is like, we listen to a lot of things and we hear a lot of things, but this is about really personalizing it in this is our opportunity to personalize it in this body right now. Because if you've come through in a million bodies, which I don't understand what that is like, you get an opportunity to personalize that in that particular body, in that particular frequency. Yeah. That's the thing about being in this body. So we're not trying to leave this unless you actually are, which is fine. But you're molding it in this beautiful structure that we get to be mirrored, and I'm pointing outside because there's always trees around me, that the natural world, which is what we call it, but really a representation of what comes through of universality and oneness put onto this planet. So we get to see that. And so then we get to feel what that is mirrored like and make it our own so that we can then return back to the oneness, and then we can come back here. And that is constantly occurring. And that's why water and everything that lives in that structure lives with that frequency and resonance and knows that. Mm-hmm. That you don't know that in fire. You don't know that in the other elements, in the wind. You know that in water because water holds every single structure and all of its possibilities.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't get over the timing. And yes, of course I can, but it's just so funny because I must have been like pre-tuning into this conversation yesterday as I was receiving that exact message of like, oh, there's nothing wrong with your life. There's nothing wrong with your body. Your body is a portal to bring in that multidimensional consciousness. And like every messy piece of our lives are so perfect. They are these spaces where we get to like, I don't know, it's like plucking a note on a harp and sending out these reverberations of, you know, like just beautiful, beautiful frequencies, I guess. And I must have just been tuning into you yesterday, and that's where I got the access to that from. But interestingly, I've also been getting these codes about the elemental fabric of this particular. I perceive this realm to be a holographic simulation, but a benevolent, a beautiful one. Mm-hmm. And so the way I translate it and understand it is that there's this like source code pattern, kind of like stem cells in the body. And then they end up deviating to become their own expression. And I'm becoming aware of the elemental source code. So the source code of water and the source code of fire, as you say. And it sounds like you are like you're kind of a water keeper, or you're very connected to the water element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all of the work that I did off planet was portal work, creating councils that are overseeing what moves through those spaces. Because oftentimes there's things left in those spaces that need clearing, that need to have a neutrality placed around it. And there's so a lot of, especially right now, there's so much confusion that's happening, and trying to gain clarity in this exact timeline right now that feels very choppy, that feels almost as if there's these huge waves, and which is what I really appreciate about the energy that water allows us to connect with, is that there can be these huge waves of things that when we learn to navigate all of these planes, it allows us to really float up, and the struggle becomes not a struggle. It ends up being just a higher frequency that our body isn't used to holding. Mm. So if we translate what we think is as struggle and pushing and resistance as a very high vibrational frequency, that for the nervous system, which is our main communication device into the brain, when that is transitioning and creating new pathways, it can feel painful.
Mm-hmm.
And it can feel like there's resistance to moving into that next, but it's really just that there's a higher frequency coming in that the body isn't used to. Or we don't have the minerals in place to support that next cellular growth. Water carries, and the thing about water is that this physical body came from water. We walked out from the water. Our blood plasma is the same mineral content as water is. And so when we can get back into actual physical water, even we can do this with our nervous system. We can do this even if people are bedbound and can't get out of their physical home for some reason. Or those who have never even seen water on this planet, because there are people that have never seen, that one, have never had access to clean water. Two, have never been to an ocean or a body of water. We don't need that. The nervous system doesn't need to physically be someplace. It is traveling constantly. So if we can connect to that, to our return, to our home, back to water, we can ease off that tension and that pain of this higher frequency coming into the bodies. Hopefully that is melding in there.
Mm-hmm. I think so. What I'm gleaning from it is like, there's a great power in water, but there's also a gentleness in water that sort of like, you know, the way that over time water clears out and erodes away, it's a solvent, right? So like whatever those places are within ourselves that hold density and hold illusion, that makes it feel painful and struggleful to adapt to these higher frequencies of consciousness, tuning into the element and the nature of water and the way that it behaves allows for like a gentle kind of washing away of those densities without them having to be, you know, like solved like a problem. Like they don't have to be fixed. They just get to be, yeah, gently lapped away. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a beautiful visualization. And visualization is, for me, one of the ways that I connect. Absolutely. Because we're looking forward to, we're problem solvers, and that's not an issue. Problem solving creates these new possibilities, but it's not for, problem solving is not for moving into states of fluidity.
Mm.
States of fluidity are about feeling and presence and allowance. And we're not always in that place for that. That's okay. That's okay. I worked with someone yesterday and was talking about like, I'm trying to get the courage to do this. Like, there's not getting courage. There's allowing into, there's birthing into, and it's the fluidity. It's not the time to figure and to solve and to put in places. And so that's the beauty of the body, is that we do have access to all this, but knowing where we are in this whole trajectory and knowing what's appropriate for us at that moment is the work, I guess, if there is any work. It's deep listening and knowing where we are in the presence.
Yeah, I was going to say, it just sounds like deep presence. It is just like, oh, what is actually on my doorstep in this moment right now? And where are those open pathways where I can like melt into it or sink into, move into it like water? Like, where is the space that I can fill now without having to like, yeah, break down the whole barrier, get rid of the whole block, you know, just,
yeah,
what little crevice can I move into from where I am right now?
And that is, you'll notice that water moves into any tiny space. If you have any tiny space, even that you cannot even see, if anyone's experienced flooding in an area, you're like, where did that come from? You thought everything was secured. And that's what the idea is, like, we're not. And that also, not only is that, we're not, am I not always protected? Oh, am I not? Is there always an opening?
Mm.
There is always the tiniest of opening that you didn't even see, because water knows that. And it will get in every place that you did not see. There's no way that you can fill the tiniest of cracks, because we need those tiniest of openings at times when we don't know we need them. And it shows itself then. And it reminds us that there is that tiniest of openings. No matter how much you've secured your home or your space, there's always those little breaks in it. And I think that's the beauty of what it does. It reminds us that it can really support and fill us at any moment. And even the flooding, because yeah, we need flooding. We need overwhelm. Why are there so many flood myths? Why is that origin story for planets? Because that is our life-giving force, is this flood. And when we need a flood to remind us, because those cracks weren't enough, we will receive that flood over and over again until we melt into it, until we become one with it.
Yeah. And so I think that's such a beautiful reframe, because I find one of the challenges of being human is that the ego feels so afraid. It always feels so afraid. It's the part of us that feels separate. And I believe that it's a beautiful thing, because it's what allows us to buy into this experience we're having. But the price of that is feeling afraid and feeling separate. And therefore, then it wants to protect and control and like lock this shit down. I love the way that you just kind of reframed that or offered that as an invitation to see it as like, oh, but there's always an opening and it's not a bad thing. It's what allows growth. It's kind of like, you know, seeing those weeds grow through the cracks in the sidewalk. And we're just like, fuck, nature's so powerful. There's always an opening. We can lay all this asphalt and it still gets through.
Yeah. And, you know, a friend of mine is works with food kinship and has been a chef and is opening to, you know, for me, food hasn't ever been a piece that has been necessary in the same way, but walking around is that everything can be nourished into us. Even those, the weeds are nourishment. And I think that allows us to see that also nourishment, and this may be going on a different track, nourishment comes in many different forms. We don't need to actually ingest nourishment. We can be around those things and be completely nourished. We can take in their energies, and that energy can then create the nourishment that this matrix in this body needs to sustain itself. But we've been programmed that we have to actually ingest nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
Or that how energy comes into our bodies is specifically through the mastication process and chewing on it. But could we make it a little bit easier on ourselves? Because that process is pretty violent. That process of digestion and having to pull things apart. And we certainly do need some nutrients, but it's also about how do we see how to nourish ourselves and really listen to the true nourishment that we're needing. And that could be by gaining the energy from the trees, from the water, from all of the elements. Wind creates nourishment in our bodies. We know this from Chinese medicine. All of those elements are nourishing or deficient or depleting to us. So knowing how to work with the energies of nature to nourish us and to actually transmute that energy into something that's for this body, I think is a next step that we're hopefully shifting into, because obviously when we're in our energetic form, we don't chew and destroy and pull apart and try and separate and get nutrients in this body in the same way. And, you know, that goes into people who only look, you know, sun gazing, those sorts of things that gain nutrients from there. So I think nourishment in general is a big thing that humanity is struggling with, all types of nourishment, whether it's being present and being held, because that's a nourishment. We're amazed at how you can hold space for someone in a matter of minutes that allows them to feel completely nourished.
Mm.
And that's an energy nourishment transference, energy transference. That's what we do when we're not in this form. That's how we nourish ourselves. That's what oneness of love feels, is that that's that there's that energy transference between energetic beings. And that's what we want to remember in these bodies. Humanity is desperate for that remembrance of what that feels like to be able to be nourished by each other. We don't need these movements of separation. We don't need to remember that we're this or we're not this, or that we're this color or that we're this whatever we are, because we're really trying to remember that we're nourished by each other as one, not as separate. So I'm pretty much against these movements. We'll just tell you that. I think that wasting our time, but I also understand that humanity and density move slower, but it's not worth our time. We need to move into how do we nourish each other in moments?
Mm-hmm.
That's the beauty. If I could spend a minute or two sitting with someone at a coffee shop, that could nourish them, and that could stop hunger. Mm-hmm. That could stop separation in this world. It takes just that simple act.
Yeah, I agree. Like I feel like these movements,
I'm assuming that you're referring to like various like social justice, political movements.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just feel like they're a distraction. They're cut. And ultimately, I feel, and I don't feel like this is Pollyanna. It's just what I tune into, that like the power of the light that is coming through into our consciousness at all times right now, that those distractions just don't hold a candle to what we're transitioning into. But they do appear to slow it down. But also, I think a lot of these things are like, they have to finish being metabolized or something. Like they're kind of stuck and lodged in our consciousness. And so they're getting triggered so that we can finish the theme. Finish off that theme and move on to the next thing. But they are also distraction. And it is hard. I feel that way when my husband, bless his heart and soul, he's extremely, like, on one hand, he's very, very spiritual. He's like a Pisces Gemini. So he's like talking to four different people. He's very, very spiritual, but he's also very grounded in like survival. And so all this stuff is getting triggered. And he, you know, is talking to me about this thing that's happening, that thing that's happening. I'm like, honey, so much of your energy is going to this. And like, for what? At the end of the day. But at the same time, you know, it's his perception, and he's going through his process.
And my partner also, like, so that comes like, what about this point? Like, I don't care. I don't even know. And now she knows to not even like show me anything because I don't care. And but it keeps me grounded in a way.
Yeah.
Here. So I have always been around something of people that have that to ground, not to connect in with it, but I think it's essential.
Yeah,
like, in doing the work,
like a reminder. Yeah, totally. So that we're not like, you know, in this beautiful, expansive like space and forgetting what everyone else is up against. Well, there's so many things I want to talk to you about. I feel like I would be remiss, and my audience would probably be so annoyed with me, if I don't ask you more about your memories of yourself as a higher dimensional being. And I also realize that this line of questioning kind of lends itself to very human thinking in terms of categorizing things. And we love to have like our labels and like, which dimension is it? What, blah, blah, blah. But people do love to have that. And it helps them to, I think, bridge a gap in understanding. And I am really interested on a personal level to, like, do you feel like you are bi-located and you can also connect with the part of yourself that's still on the ship?
Most of my life, I was mostly there. And the transition back to, and I spent most of my time in water in order to, when I was here on the planet, to be more plasmic. I was a competitive swimmer. So I literally spent 5 hours, the time that I wasn't in school when I was a child, 5 hours in the water in the morning and at night so that I could be in that space. The swim team that I was on, there was another hybrid on that who was older than me, who was on that team. And she was also a guide for me. And what I love about when we're able to, I can immediately connect in, even though I haven't seen her. I don't even know how old I was, five. It was only not that many years. But I'm immediately still connected with her and her energy. And being able to, and we didn't come from the same ship, but in being a hybrid, there's your understanding of how to maneuver in this lifetime, in this energy, is really more about how do I bring what I experience on the ship, and how we learn on the ship is, and I know this is different because there are some people that are planetary beings. And they really connect with being from specific planets. And I think that's a lot of where people are understanding. So there's no particular planet, although I do have DNA that has characteristics of specific planets and specific star systems, because that helps me now with what I'm doing here or helps me in the assignments. And I've visited many areas. But in the ship energy, what happens is that you learn on these sort of screens of what happens on the earthly planet in order to understand how to act. Because most of what I did was observe. I spent years observing and trying to not fit in that I had to be like everyone else, but try and move with the systems so that I could understand them, but still not be a part of them. And it wasn't a problem for me not to be a part of them because they weren't a part of who I am. But you come in with this information that you've seen of how things are and how to act, and none of it makes sense because you think, why would you act like that? Just be who you are. You don't have to live according to any systems. And so there's always been that disconnect of trying to, like, social media. How am I supposed to do social media? I don't know, because we literally just interact by our energy. And we literally can just telepathically move in an instant. So why do I need to do social media? So there's always marketing. I don't understand that. I still do not understand it. I don't understand why these things happen, because the way we communicate is so natural and flowing when we're all tuned into it.
Yes.
The communication system is happening. You and I have already had this experience anyways. We're just putting it in a dense form, but we already had it. So yeah. Now we get to have the experience of, like, wow, okay, I'm sweating. Oh, okay, I'm feeling this. So we get to actually feel the experience in the body, but we already had it on an energetic level. So, and I know been doing these tangents, but that's the thing of, like, oh, okay, I'm experiencing this in this body. That's all this body is, like, wow, I'm experiencing this. I can experience it, but you've already had it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I came in with. I remember when I would watch TV as a child, when we had the TVs you'd watch when children, because you didn't have a remote. I would remember everything would turn into, because when we stuff energy into these bodies, it doesn't fit well. Hence why those memes that people put on things are always these weird, oddly shaped aliens. But isn't that how energy is? You're trying to stuff it in something that, like, it's trying to fit in here, but it pops out at all these different times. And so I remember seeing all these different figures that would pop out of their body suits on the TV and actually come out of the TV. And it's just funny to me. It's a hilarious thing of how we stuff energy into these bodies and try to make the bodies a certain shape. And we're disproportioning the actual energy that's inside of it. So every so often, just allow your energy to pop out whatever shape it might be is what I suggest to people. Like, you don't have to keep it compact in here. And that, I mean, I think that's fun. I sound odd, but, like, isn't that, like, wow, things are just energy just coming out here. What do I really look like? Because we look like this. We change every time we speak to someone, we change our shape because energy's coming out. Hence the, you know, fascination with shape shifting.
Well, we do shape shift, don't we? Like, it literally, we call it the aging process. But it's actually shape-shifting, because if you look at the whole, like, if you take your pictures all the way from, you know, the day you were born all the way up until present moment right now, all of the ways that, like, we've changed our hairstyle and our, like, we accept that we're like, oh, it's a surface level change. I had a different hairstyle. I wear different clothes. But if you look at people's skin and their eye color, their hair color, their body shape, everything morphs and shifts through our life process in accordance with what we believe that we are. But we're just kind of unconscious about it. We just take it for granted and call it the aging process. And we're like, oh, well, it's just something that happens. And we don't realize how in control we are of our perception of our identity. That's totally a choice. Totally a choice. What we believe that we are. And again, like, not in a social justice movement way, but in a like, who do I understand myself to be right now? Because there is no like true answer. There are multidimensional answers, and you just sync up with what you currently understand, and then you become that and you shapeshift.
Yeah. Yes. And that is the place where I think people are the transition of like, can't it be smooth for me? The change is like, okay, moving on to the next change, done with that change. There's the easiest thing for me, like, I have items, don't have items now. Okay, I'm on the next thing. And that's the, how do we shapeshift into these different places without still holding on to what we thought we were? Like, yeah. Is it a big deal that we're not that anymore? Well, I don't understand why it is a big deal.
You're just not that.
Well,
I'm curious then. It leads me to wonder, are you aware if you have had any other lives on Earth, or is this
the first one?
Okay.
First one.
I used to work as a midwife. And when I received these fresh babies into the world, I would go away from the rest of my team and I would be like, welcome back. And then occasionally there would be like very few proportionately the ones that I welcomed. But every now and then there'd be one where I'd be like, welcome. And it's here. Like, I would try to download to them, you know, these like frequencies, like, some of us see you. You're okay here. It's going to be okay. But I think that is that's why people hold on to when they've had many lives. And even it's kind of strange, like, man, it's hard to have these conversations, isn't it? Because there's so much prerequisite information for it to make sense. But I also read the Akashic Records for people. And so what I've assembled through all of my readings is that there's a portion of the human population that kind of loops around karmically. So they keep coming back, looping, looping, looping. And then there's others who come in free of that karmic looping, but we usually choose, I don't know, where we come into like five different lives or something like that at the same time. And it's kind of like a drip down, and they're at different points on the linear timeline. And though I think people who are doing that, it's easier for us to be, and then there are people like you who are like, oh, I've never even been here before, so I don't even get any of this weirdness that you guys are doing. But when we're not looping, it's easier for us to get to that point where we're like, this story of what I experience actually isn't a reflection of me at all. It's just part of kind of the holographic dream simulation projection. And so it's easier to take that off and be like, ooh, who am I now? But the people who are looping, and like you described at the beginning of our conversation with this concept of like blood loyalty, like a blood family, and you do this over your family, whatever. We come in and we inherit all of this. Yeah, it just feels like the density of illusion, like being deeply asleep in the dream. And so you believe that you're you. You believe it so strongly. And so then it's like, oh, how can I even conceive that I could be something else? And you have all these, like, this whole spiderweb network of stories attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting in that I wonder if the looping actually, well, if we didn't have the looping, how much of this planet would still be available in a density form? I mean, I always feel like it's necessary. We've got to have those people that are constantly looping. And so taking this out of a hierarchical standpoint of like, everyone's looking to ascend. These people are completely asleep. They're not good. Like, we're in an ecosystem And that, I think, completely solidifies, like, this is the ecosystem. And surviving is beneficial for all of these pieces. So that's a really interesting point of like, yeah, looping is necessary.
Yeah. Well, I definitely feel that like in this late winter, I started to get this understanding, like, we're not really in the third dimension as we understand it anymore. We're not actually so physical anymore. We're much more plasma, like you're describing, because we're becoming collectively much more fluid. I think we're mostly like, we're still looping, a lot of us, but it's in the fourth dimensional realm of the stories, the narratives. But I do believe, like, when I feel into it and feel into the past, like, let's say 100 linear years ago, it definitely feels more physical. And I think that's where, like, that buy-in, that ego, it's not something that we need to demonize or, like, kill or liberate ourselves from. It's just ascension. My beautiful soul sister, Kara Busacker, referred to it as expansion. Like, I don't really feel good about ascension. I'm gonna start referring to it as expansion. I think that's just what it is. When you're ready, your consciousness can expand into the moreness that it always was anyway. So you can be in an ego and a human form and be existing multidimensionally, like you say, in this fluid sort of dance.
Yeah. And I think that also allows us to pick up fragmentary pieces of those, of information.
Absolutely.
But also of those who have fragmented themselves for specific pieces of information, right? The gurus, the Rudolf Steiners, all of those fragments who have broken apart in order so that we can sort of reach into those spaces and pull those fragments into this particular matrix in that dimension that we're in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so I'm curious, do you perceive, like, even as we talk about the looping, and there's an aspect of it that is required to maintain this plane of the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Do you perceive that there is any, like, that any aspect of consciousness is kind of like trapped in the looping, like it's got a momentum of its own, and that there are fragments that do, they are ready, they want to be liberated, but they almost need like a tuning fork to calibrate to. Does that resonate with you at all? And if it doesn't, I completely honor that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's coming up is that, and I think this will help inform some of that, is that as we remember our galactic, that, you know, that this isn't some paradise as well. There is a definite amount happening in that realm, in those dimensions as well. This is not, we get to now transcend everything. There's a system between that is learning. We might think that where we've come from is this idyllic perfectness, but in that there is still consciousness expanding there as well. It's just in a different speed and shape. And they're learning from humanity as much. And so that's an important piece to remember, that I think that there's a harmonics that is occurring, which is the tuning fork piece when we move. And this is a sound frequency, right? A light frequency, whatever we want to call it, that moves at that point where it connects between humanity and these galactic realms, that we're actually at that moment, at that 0 point field that they come to, that's when everyone's quote unquote fragments can shift. And not necessarily a breaking apart, but how I see it is it's this beautiful forming of a union between consciousnesses. We don't have to break things apart anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We transmute in the way that it creates union. And that's where I think these fragment pieces come into play, is that they're opportunities for us to have that union with the information, with the consciousness of the galactic realms who need us just as much. Because what we're going through here is profoundly impactful and important for the knowledge, for their expansion. I know I'm saying us and them, and there's no other terms besides
yes
to understand this. But that's important to remember. And I don't think humanity has an embodiment of that knowing. I think we're in the place of, I'm trying to strive to be this other thing. But that's where we're turning off the cycle, is that they can't, we can't connect with them if we're turning off that I'm striving to be them.
Mm-hmm.
We're striving, we're moving into being one so that we can we can have this resonance. It's quite profound. And you feel it when you move into a plasmic state that you are both beneficial to this equation. And that's the expansion that you feel. When you feel that mutualness, that's when it explodes into expansion of our consciousness in this body. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It totally makes sense. It totally makes sense. So one of the understandings that I'm operating by is that why I recently, like over the last year and a half, started kind of retrieving memories or having memories surface of being one of the creator beings who, and I'm sure you must be too, that essentially the way it makes sense in my mind is like this realm, I call it a simulation, but I don't really believe that it's digital. It's almost like I see the whole creation process of like there's this simmering cauldron of energy and consciousness, and then you know, we kind of stir it a little bit and then we leave it alone and come back and see like, ooh, what's going on there? And then eventually we saw that there was this realm was created, and there were beings that would make suitable avatars for incarnation and also for like observation. But we had to modify their genetics so that we could do it. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, we're fragmented from ourselves because we have I call it like an innie and an outie. There's a show on Apple TV called Severance, which I borrowed these terms from, but there's we're the innie, you and I who are talking right now, mm-hmm. and there's an outie, and we are them, and we're not separate. And the outie is cannot possibly experience the profound expansion that they're experiencing, that we are experiencing from that perspective without the innie that is experiencing it from this perspective. Mm-hmm. And like our lives are so divine and we feel so messy and imperfect and unworthy down here often. But the truth is that we are these like portals for, I mean, I don't even have a word for it, like expansion, transformation. They all feel like they fall short.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm just feeling that that messiness in that. And of course, when we're in the messiness, when we're feeling that, it can be overwhelming to us. And sitting in it is them holding us. When we deeply sit in it, that is when they hold us, period. And I know I can say that so simply, but that is truth. That's when they surround us. And there are times when we surround them. When we become the oneness, we surround them, because then they get to feel what oneness from a dense body feels like. And that's when we transmit that. And we have to remember that when we are in that messiness, they are holding us. And so the if we can break apart, and I had this, when I see chia pudding, you see that it's so densely put together. But when you put more water in there, you know how it just starts to move away from each other, its structure? Like, let your the structure and of the density of that chia pudding move away from each other so that they can hold us. And that's when we transmit it. It's the hardest thing for our bodies to start separating its molecular structure. But this is what we have to do. We've got to separate our molecular structure in these messy moments. When we emotionally feel messy, when our ego is in it, separate your molecules of your physical body. It's super easy to do, I think.
I think it is too, but I can so tell just by talking to you that, like, for you, it is really easy. Like, you're close to that memory of how all that works. And so you're like, and you just separate your molecules. But I feel like the way that I understand it to be done. So if I imagine myself in my human experience, like just feeling angry with myself about something that I've done. Maybe I have a repeated pattern and I just keep, you know, from my perception, I keep fucking up and I feel like a loser. I'm so mad at myself. And maybe I'm also deflecting it and I'm mad at this person that always, you know, had a role to play in this scenario. Yep. The way that I would then apply this separation of molecules is to, like, go into it so deeply, like not be trying to live at the periphery of the pain, but go right into the white hot center of it and be so present in it that I almost like have an endogenous DMT trip on it, where it just comes, like my pupils dilate and I'm like, holy fuck, I am an eternal being having this trippy experience and none of this means anything about my soul or my intelligence or my value or anything, but it's intense and just being so, 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 so present in it that you just like, you kind of breathe and you and then all of the molecules separate and those openings are created and the energy of water comes in and sort of like rearranges it like a kaleidoscope reforming and rearranging. And all of a sudden, like, you're changed. It's just, it's that fast. It's that easy. That's kind of how it translates to me.
May I offer an alternative?
Yes, of course.
Bring in that, and I want you to bring in that blaming of the outside. I want you to bring in the fiery heat that develops underneath the ribs and in the pelvis and starts to sort of flew all of those pieces and all of the intellectualization of it. And I want you to see if you can move in the spaces in between. The molecules in the extracellular spaces. And let all the tension in the back of the legs and the back of the body and the front of the throat and all of those pieces continue to build. We're not having to gain energy. Just let it ride in it. And continue to move through the extracellular space. I know hopefully everyone has seen cells and that there's space in between where specifically structured water moves. Don't have to get into that, but move in between those cells and skimming along there and feeling the edge on of the cell and of that energy and continue to allow whatever is occurring in the mind and in the ego and in the heart and in the physical body to continue as you move into those spaces. Feel the vibration of the body as it starts to build up. Feel all of that. Feel the dehydration that you start to feel, and that is the physical body shifting itself as you hold space within the extracellular matrix, because we actually don't need to do anything for this. And this is the one thing I've learned about being in this body, is that the physical body has such intelligence that we can just be with the cellular matrix and it will shift itself if we allow that to come up, and it's not going to overwhelm us. It overwhelms us. And I'm not being contradictory here, but I'm going to put this forward. It overwhelms us when we go into the center of it. The body and those, they don't need us to go into the center. It knows what to do. And I want to say, in the DMT experience, the songs, the voice that comes through, that's moving us in that flow with the plant medicines. So it's almost guiding us along this watery journey through. And if we remember those, the memories of those experiences, is that I feel like it's this boat, and the plant medicine is, you know, sort of the guide on the boat, and we're sitting in it and we're moving through that watery pathway with the, or the earthy pathway with the plant medicine, seeing what's occurring, that we don't actually have to do that deep in the fire depth, jumping in. And I know there's exactly the opposite of what you just said.
That, I think it's beautiful, because I think it, they're two different pathways to essentially being in a state of allowing
the transformation to occur.
Yeah. And allowing what appears to be densely physical to actually be fluid and plasma-like.
And
that for some people, maybe it's like my personality type, that it works for me to go like right into the fire, to the point where like it burns so much that I don't even feel the heat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you're right for some people, and depending on like the,
you know, the thing that is being worked through, that actually that's totally overwhelming and totally not possible for somebody to do that. And that there are these other spaces they can move through.
Yeah.
And I think that's the piece of it, because I'm a person like, I will go into something immediately, not knowing anything about it. I will dive right into the fire of things because I know that I can handle it. I know that I will figure out the way. And I act like that is, let me just give up everything, move into that next space and see what it's like. I absolutely love that. And there's alternative, like there's what's going to feel the right pathway. And I think that's why I would love people to start taking away that there are multiple, and these are only two. These are clearly just a couple pathways that we're presenting. And I want people to, you know, we see like, okay, a lot of plant medicine happening right now. Okay, purging. Like for me, at this point, and I have the, that's not where I'm leading right now. So remembering that even though there's a lot happening on the outside, you know that there, that you can develop your own pathway, that there is that intelligence within, that even though there are offerings out there, how you're going to come through this is very personal and powerful for you, that you don't even need to see. It can be forms, but like dimensionally, that's why there are so many dimensions, that there are so many different pathways to that. And I get that this is a huge leap for many people, but I want to plant that seed that you have no idea where the pathway is going to be. So allow yourself to take the next step whether it is in the inside, outside, whatever it's going to look like.
That's where you come to who you were. You already know that. You already know that.
It gives a lot of freedom for people because we're only presenting two possibilities.
That's so true. But there are so many more than those two possibilities. And that for the same person in a different moment, you know, different possibilities might be required to really navigate the human experience without feeling like lost in it, contracted in it, like paralyzed with fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that navigation is where they come in and help us. That if we just allow that information that we need, because they've done some of this work already, like why struggle? They've already done some of this. So tune into their holding of us and get some of that information so that we can move through it easier. And I'm not saying jumping into fire doing is necessarily easy, but it is they have done some navigating that we haven't and that can help us. So it's worth asking and staying open, because what other options do you have at that point anyways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at the clock and I'm realizing, oh man, I could just talk to you forever, but I know that you have an appointment to go to. So we'll close off the main show and we'll move on to our little extra bonus Patreon conversation. But Yael, this has been such a beautiful pleasure, such a deep conversation. I really trust that everybody who listened, like really, really received some new insights and expansion that they're ready for. So thank you so much for joining me to share your wisdom and your perspective and your experience.
Thank you for changing me as well in this experience.
And beautiful listeners, as always, I value your time and your attention more than my words can say. I hope you have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. And I'll catch you on the next episode, my friends.
Hey, my beautiful friend. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Third Eye Awakening. If you like what you heard and you want to go deeper, then head over to my website, amybelair.com, and check out my store, which is full of my past programs, courses, modules, masterclasses, light codes, etc., that are powerful and they are potent and they pack a punch. Not gonna lie, they are here to support you, accelerate you, and activate you in your spiritual awakening and psychic development journey. And/or, if you want to stay in my most current, vibey, live energy, then I suggest that you head over to the Patreon and join me there. At the lowest tier level, which is only $5 a month, you get a secret bonus episode for every Third Eye Awakening episode that goes out. You also get a weekly energy report and light language activation, and you get a new moon and full moon emancipation transmission. So those are some fun ways to play, and I'll just remind you that I always have live programs going, so keep your eyes on my website, on my social media, and here on the podcast to find out what is the most current offering that I have. Either way, I love having you in my world, and I hope that I get to meet you and work with you soon.